Welcome everybody to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Episode 50.
50
episodes.
Halfway to
100. Halfway to 100. Oh, God.
Almost there.
Yeah. So today we'll be doing a quick top of the stack. We're going to talk some pre-San Diego Comic-Con news, and we're also going to celebrate what we are excited about for the rest of 2019. Unfortunately, we're going to start on a bit of a somber note, though. There have been some tragedies in the recent days within our pop culture and comic book sphere. Titans special effects coordinator Warren Appleby was killed during the rehearsal of a car stunt on the Titans season 2 set. Gentleman's been in the business for over 25 years. He's had similar roles or the same role on the Guillermo del Toro film The Shape of Water, as well as It and the upcoming It Chapter 2. So, yeah, it's sad news to hear about a show especially that we enjoy and somebody who's been in the business and well-loved in the business. Also, the Kyoto Animation Studio was burned by an arsonist, and at this point in time, we know of 33 people who have died. And Patrick, do you have any more information about what was going on here?
Not too much as of yet. They're still trying to figure out more about the story, but yeah, they know it was arson. They have a suspect in custody, Yeah, they still have yet to figure out his motive truly. They think it was because he said that it was because they stole his ideas, and that's why he burned down the studio. But yeah, Kyoto Animation is responsible for films such as The Silent Voice, or A Silent Voice, excuse me, and a lot of other like high school girl sort of movies like that, animations in that same vein.
Those are Kat's favorite, I'm not even gonna lie.
Yeah, that's they're right down your vein, actually, of all that stuff. Mm. But just great content, and yeah, 33 directors, animators, yep, writers. There's not much to say about that. I think we should probably take a moment of silence, though, for all those people, Warren Appleby, and all the people of Kyoto Animation.
Okay. We are going to attempt to move on now and just talk about some going-ons in geek culture. I'll get us started with our top of the stack here, and I am going to talk about Blade Runner 2019 number one.
Don't spoil.
As I have said several times, Blade Runner is my favorite film. Blade Runner 2049 certainly gave it a run for its money. And speaking of Blade Runner 2049, Michael Green and Mike Johnson are the writers for Blade Runner 2019, and I believe Michael Green and possibly Mike Johnson were scriptwriters on Blade Runner 2049.
Yes, and I believe that is correct.
The art in this book is by Andres Guinaldo. So this takes place basically as a companion piece to the original Blade Runner. It takes place same year, same city. And instead of dealing with Deckard, we're dealing with Ash, who is labeled several times as the best Blade Runner on the Force. Like, that's what she's known for. She's known as being the best. And as such, she is actually contracted separate from the police department on a personal case involving a missing persons. This was awesome. This was definitely, I didn't know what to expect from a Blade Runner comic book that wasn't in the main story.
I mean, honestly, it feels like it should be a manga too sometimes when I look at Blade Runner.
It's perfect, right? The cyberpunk genre, like, just lends itself to that. And this idea of a character that is supposedly better than our hero that we've known, and just sort of in a side story. So this isn't the Nexus 6. We're not dealing with, like, the great corporate takeover and the things of identity, but you are in the film noir genre, and there's a lot of the setting the mood and your lead character talking to us and telling us her thoughts. I dug it. It was very thematic. It was very strong. So.
Yeah, I have not read this one yet, but it seems as if it's sticking in the noir genre a lot, so that's which I definitely really love all the tropes from that. So
yeah,
I'm glad that you said that. That definitely makes me excited to read it.
It's a detective story, you know, like it's definitely boots on the ground, going into, you know, bars, breaking hands, and saying, "Where's this person?" You know, like.
I'm so like weird about mystery stuff. Like I love noir detect like this genre, but like regular mystery stuff like Sherlock Holmes-y
right.
type stuff, I'm like really
doesn't do it for
about.
You.
But like when you get like the hard boiled detective,
yep.
inner monologue boy.
Oh, it's a good one, and it is truly cyberpunk. Well, I mean, it's in the world of Blade Runner. It's kind of hard to not be that way.
That's yeah. great. Well, I guess I'll go into my top of the stack then. I had a pretty hard time because this week Collapser came out,
mm-hmm.
but last week Second Coming came out, and I think I might have to go with Second Coming, though, just because Mark Russell is amazing and, you know, godly at writing, pun intended.
oh, man.
Second Coming being the story of Jesus's Second Coming. I feel like this is one of the most irreverent and the most reverent stories about Christianity I've ever read in my life. Like, knowing Mark Russell and his writing and his satire and take on society, I didn't know what to expect, and this is obviously what I should have expected. Like, God is this, like, crotchety, angry, like, semi-alcoholic kind of guy.
Yeah.
And Jesus is, like, he's Jesus.
Yeah.
He loves everybody, like, all humans, and God is like, I created them, and they're not grateful, like, and, you know, yeah. why don't, all this stuff, and Jesus is like, well, they're humans, why don't we love them anyway? And and being paired next to, like, this Superman type guy,
yeah.
who is not bad at all, like he's a great person saving everybody and all this stuff,
trying to adopt a kid
yeah, like he has a breakdown because he couldn't find the missing plane.
Yeah,
like that was such a vulnerable moment, and but then, like, you know, he beats up the criminals, and then Jesus heals them.
Because that's what Jesus would do.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's great. I'm so interested to see where this goes.
I was really impressed by the art too, like, because they chose to do two different inking styles.
Yeah.
So the things in the realm of God were very scratchy and like old looking, mm-hmm. and then everything modern had a much like heavier ink line. It was done like a traditional comic. So there was like a nice juxtaposition between the two worlds, which I thought.
Yeah,
was,
when they're up in heaven.
Yeah.
Which is like, oh, like, it looked like, what is it, the holodeck.
Yeah, exactly. Seriously, it did.
Yeah.
Lots of bars.
Yeah, and then, like, Jesus, the story with Jesus' childhood friend, too, that he gave the carpentry shop to.
Yeah.
And then ended up making crosses that then, oh my god.
The cross that was used to crucify Jesus.
Yeah. Classic Mark Russell. Just, like, so deep cut. So,
yeah,
like, so precise, but hilarious at the same time. It's like, half of the comic is, like, I need to make a 10-page long, you know, Facebook post about this. And people read, and the other half is, like, just laughing out loud at the hilarity of the jokes.
Yeah. Really, like, really impressive.
Yeah.
I can understand why DC couldn't publish that.
Yeah.
But yes. Really impressive.
Absolutely understand. So, no fault on you there, yeah. DC.
Thank you for letting them take the entire book to a different publisher and, like, not pull things from it.
So. Mm, yeah. And Mark Russell, thank you for being Mark Russell. So, anyway. Can you get a top of the stack for us?
Because I chose to ignore everything new because somebody gave me a comic I've been wanting to read for, like, a month and a half now. My top of the stack would be Dark Victory, and that is... I don't even remember. What year is that?
Oh, God. Early 2000? 2003,
yeah.
Maybe?
So you've got Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. It's definitely an older comic, but oh, my God, read it. It's so... If you have... Actually, read Long Halloween, then read Dark Victory. But Dark Victory was really good. I really enjoyed it. I will say this, though. I did read Superman for All Seasons. Wasn't a fan.
Oh!
I did not enjoy his rendition of Superman.
Shade to... Oh, you don't like Doughboy Superman?
It's not necessarily... Yeah, I didn't like his rendition. I didn't like how he viewed Superman. Batman was great! Superman? Eh.
All right, well, that's fair.
Especially after reading Mark Waid's Birthright. Good luck topping that.
Yeah, that's a really good series. Yeah. Mark Waid and Lionel Yu. Like, yeah, that's good luck. Pretty
Lionel
badass.
Lionel Yu, too?
You can borrow it. It's amazing. Next, sorry.
Yeah. Why would S on the chest.
Mm-hmm. Why would you even bring those two up in comparison? That's not fair.
I read that one first. It's probably the problem.
One's much more lighthearted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Birthright is a lot serious.
All right. Well, let's talk about some trailers.
Yeah.
Maybe we got a...
Oh, my gosh. We have a lot of really good ones.
Yeah. We'll start with His Dark Materials. This is the adaptation of the Golden Compass franchise. Is not what it's called. Golden Compass is just the first book, right?
Yes, it is called His Dark Materials trilogy.
Okay, yeah.
And so the Golden Compass is the first book, then The Subtle Knife, and then the last one is it's also an implement of some sort.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I'm forgetting it. So the Golden Compass, The Subtle Knife, and they're all stuff that come up in the book.
Yeah,
the Golden Compass is the Ethereometer, or what do they call it in the trailer?
I don't know. You see it in the trailer for sure. Yeah, like, me having no knowledge of this was like, oh, it's the Golden Compass.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, they don't call it that in the book, though.
Okay.
They call it, there's like, it's like...
I've read half of that book, and it was years ago, so I am of no help.
Yeah,
I don't even remember who wrote it.
It's a something ometer.
It's
Philip Pullman is the author. You see him, he actually reviews a lot of comic books, especially, like, if you ever you know, how they have, like, the splash quote on, like, the front, like, best book I've ever read, Philip Pullman, I don't know.
Oh, cool.
You see that a lot in comics, so, but yeah, oh my gosh, I didn't actually see this full trailer until Matt showed it to me right before recording, and I mean, you had me at His Dark Materials.
Oh,
yeah. So
I was gonna say, I figured they had him at his, and then he's like, he's like, yeah, and then they said dark, you're like, yeah, yeah.
And then they said Lin-Manuel Miranda, and then passed out for a little bit and woke up and said yeah,
and then they said James McAvoy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And then X-23.
And then
Daphne Keene.
Daphne Keene, yes. Oh my gosh. Which, hearing her talk is gonna...
It's super weird.
Yeah. It's gonna take me an episode or two to get into that.
Yeah. I had the question as I was watching the trailer. I'm like, is she British? Like, I don't know.
I know.
Isn't it weird when you see an actress who, like, does, like, an American accent? I think the best one will be, for right now, that I could think of is the girl who plays Raven. And then she talks, like...
Oh, she's Australian.
Yeah, and then you hear her actually talking, you're like, what the hell? Yeah. I think the dude who plays Robin is also British, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just like, what? Everything's fine, it's okay. They're just, they're playing roles.
There's so many people like that.
Yeah.
Superman.
Superman as well, when he talks, I'm just like, what?
I always wondered why Rick Grimes from The Walking Dead couldn't say the name Carl, even though it's his son, until I found out he was British, too.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But anyway, His Dark Materials.
Way off track. Oh my gosh, so excited.
This will probably push me into that HBO Max subscription. So
I'm gonna need more than that.
Yeah, I think it's enough for me.
I don't need any more than this. If they do three seasons, one per each book, that would be perfect. I think the reason that Golden Compass flopped as a movie is because they didn't have time to let
tried to jam up. It's what happens with most things.
Like, the books, I don't understand how he builds, like, as big of a world as he does in three books.
Yeah.
So,
and
like,
they're not very long
movie,
either.
No, they're like average novel length, like 320, 350.
Yeah, they're adult books, aren't they?
Yeah, YA. But, like, still, like, the density
which
he, like, builds the world. And then the universe after that.
I
like,
read halfway
multiple, through one. Yeah, at the end of the first one, then they start hopping dimensions. So, like...
Spoilers!
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Totally spoilers. With The Subtle Knife. And like, each dimension is extremely well built.
Cool.
Worldwide.
I mean, I watched the original Golden Compass, but Nicole Kidman was in it, so can anybody really fault me?
No.
It's good for what it is, but yeah. Like I said, it is just rushed, and they can't. That you happens. Can't build the world.
In that happens a lot, and I think they've learned, like, I think the series of unfortunate events probably is what started it all, because they started doing books in 2 episodes, and I was like, this is amazing. This is 14 yeah. million times better than these freaking movies ever were.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the golden age of TV, man, is the golden age of the Golden Compass, too, apparently. Nice.
All right, so next trailer is Mulan. The Disney... This one, I guess we can call a remake? This one feels very different based on the trailer from the animated film. This is, like, a straight Chinese cinema version of Mulan in many ways. This is what it looked like.
Yeah, it feels to me like you mentioned Hero yep. before. I was getting a lot of, like Ang Lee style, just like straight kung fu movie. Yep. If they have like people flying through the air, like
I hope they do. Stuff,
that would be amazing.
See, and that's kind of at the point where you lose me, because I'm not really, that's never been a kind of, I've never liked any of those kinds of movies like that. Like,
let's be honest here, we lost you at Disney remake.
You did. So I'm not even, I have made it, mind you, I know that the new Lion King comes out today. I want to put this out there. I still have made it without watching that trailer once, because I absolutely and utterly refuse to.
Oh, man. I listen to a lot of NPR. I heard a critic just tear it apart yesterday.
I've heard multiple people tear it apart.
And NPR is usually pretty... like trying to be level-headed yeah. about those
things. I've heard a lot of mixed about that, but for as far as Mulan is concerned, I'm actually really excited for this. I think this yes. one looks...
But yes, you were completely right. I heard Disney remake, and I was like, out!
Yeah, you heard Disney, and you're like, remake! Oh. No, I think this is what the Disney remakes need, is just taking the old properties and putting them into different genres.
See, and that's what they
different directors.
That's yeah. what they did with Maleficent, and I watched. I'm gonna go see the next one of that, but I just they're like Disney remake. I'm like,
eh. Yeah.
They
yeah,
tried exactly. it with Alice in Wonderland as well, and I don't think that worked as well though.
Yeah.
You made that whole movie about Johnny Depp though, and I'm like, I don't want a movie yeah. about the Mad Hatter. Yeah. If we're gonna do a movie about the Mad Hatter, don't call it Alice.
Yeah, that is true. That's a good point. But yeah, no, I don't know why those didn't. I didn't see them yet. I yeah. haven't heard terrible things about.
I didn't see Aladdin either. I was not.
Yeah. I heard awful. I heard bad things about Aladdin. I won't watch Aladdin.
Aladdin is far higher rated on Rotten Tomatoes than Lion King is.
Damn, really?
I'm not surprised about that, actually.
It is no fault of the Lion King's, like, CG or storytelling. It's just the big question. The low reviews are why. That's the big thing. Why was this made?
Yeah, and that's...
I've actually heard a big thing about the CG, though, is that the eyes...
Oh.
Yeah, like, just dead eyes.
Interesting.
Like, people are like, the mouths match up to like the dialogue, but the eyes don't match up to emotion, which, like, you know, we'll get into the eyes being very expressive in another trailer here pretty soon. I think
we can go right into it. I think we've veered too far off of Mulan anyway. So the Cats trailer dropped.
Uh-huh.
Cats being the musical, and I want to say it was an 80s musical. I don't know for sure.
It was Andrew Lloyd Webber, and that's when he's big in the 70s, 80s,
okay.
late 70s to
look at this most Google. Of the
80s. I know this yeah. is a film that has been in development or pre-production for many, many years. I'm going to go first and foremost, and I want to say, like, I want to apologize to the filmmakers and the actors for anything that's said during this, because I do feel bad, because you can tell that there was a lot of pride and...
1981.
81,
okay.
81,
nice.
There was a lot of pride and a lot of care to put together, like, a product that people involved loved, and I don't know that CG technology is quite where it needs to be for this, as well as I don't think the general public is ready for this, and the internet's response to it was as such. You know, this came in line with the It trailer, but people were calling this the most horrifying thing they had seen online that day. It's disturbing, because I just don't think the CG technology is there yet, and they've made some creative choices that certainly make the world feel realistic for itself, but are difficult to digest. Pat, you have a different...
I don't... So for me, I'm just straight up, like, that entire trailer just made me really uncomfortable. And I'm like, the other half of it is like, I see what they were attempting to do. They were better off just doing the makeup. Because the way, I don't know what it, I'm like, I don't, if we're going to do humanoid cats and with CG, please don't, is my answer.
There's a lot of like, and that's an argument in a broader sense. It's like, mm-hmm. why are we not putting people in makeup if we're going to have them literally be the people dancing and doing mm-hmm. all of this?
And that's kind
of
was anyway. My biggest question.
And if you're going to use their body types as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I loved it. I thought it was beautiful and gorgeous. I do have a soft spot in my heart for cats, though, like, as a play. And obviously the cast, too. Like,
cast is great.
Idris Elba and Ian McClellan and Taylor Swift and Judi Dench.
That was a really weird casting. Well, there's also Jason Derulo, who I haven't really heard from. I don't listen to the radio, though, so there's also that. But I haven't heard from him in years. Jason Derulo's in it. You've got Jennifer Hudson, right?
Yeah. And I don't know. I thought it was beautiful. Like, it did take me a second to get into it. Like, it threw me off at first, but then the more I watched it, the more I think I was, like, forcing myself to suspend my disbelief just because of how well choreographed and like it and just beautiful like the dancing and singing was.
I didn't realize that the lead is like a highly positioned ballerina, and
that explains a lot of her movement.
Yeah, and that was the thing. I thought that they had screwed up some of the CGI animation stuff, and like her movements were so weird. Until I realized that, and then I had a higher appreciation for specifically her movements in the trailer.
Yeah, because I'm forgetting her name right now because
it's Francesca.
And introducing her as the main character, so that that definitely told me it was her first like film performance. But you can tell like. Very much so. It really looks like they just took the regular people and put them in like
green suits
mm-hmm. and then animated fur onto them.
Yeah.
I do have like I'm intrigued because they did that scale thing where like the cats are the same size like as a cat would be.
Yeah.
But then there was the full sized milk bar in one of the background street sequences, so it would be like, so it's a human milk bar, but, like, that's where the cats hang out? Like, I'm confused. That's a little bit, like, a strange scale thing that happened for me.
Yeah, I guess we'll see it in the movie, but I don't know. I thought this was great. All the haters on the internet, and also Cat and Nat.
I'm just extremely uncomfortable. That's basically the majority of what it was, is I'm like, I don't... Like, it's really weird because this is going to sound really odd, but I'm like, okay, I know you're a female, but at the same time, they look like they're trying to make you look like a cat, so they bindered you down. I'm not getting this. If we're gonna go humanoid cat, go humanoid cat, man. If we're not gonna quite, they're sitting on this weird line.
Are you saying you were sad because her boobies weren't big enough?
I'm not even saying that. It's just, it was, like, really odd to me because I thought they were going humanoid cat, so I thought you would get, like, with female cats, some female, like, female human features. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to explain.
And like
8 nipples or something.
It is
a strange, like, design perspective. Like, what exactly... Where was the middle ground?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Like,
and that's
how much of a human.
Well, I was thinking about it as we were discussing it that I don't think that they did enough of like the black nose makeup. Like, you know, like when you think about like when people do a cat Halloween costume, it's the nose and whiskers, and they did a lot of like blankness on the faces. Mm-hmm. So like the faces, like the noses are human shaped still, like. There's something
didn't
of a disconnect.
Like a pink nose, though?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
That's the thing that I'm stuck on. I'm like, where is this line? I haven't found it yet.
I liked the line that they found.
Okay, well, I'm gonna try to just get us through some quick news here so we can just talk about what we're excited about. We've got the Steven Universe movie officially announced, right?
Woo!
It's gonna be a Nickelodeon original, right? Cartoon Network. Oh my god, I'm so sorry.
Yes. I'm pretty sure it's a TV movie. I haven't seen too much about it other than it's coming in the fall.
Cool, cool.
So,
staying in the realm of animation, it looks like Cuphead has now has a show on Netflix. It's called The Cuphead Show.
What?
I want trailer, like, tomorrow. Like, give me trailer now.
Yeah, I don't... You say Cuphead Show, and I'm just like, what?
That's basically, from my understanding, why? That's like what is it called now? I can't even think of the game. Oh my god. It's
side-scroller?
Dark
Souls.
Platformer Dark Souls.
Yes. It's so good. Cuphead is so good.
It's a great game.
Though. Cuphead, there's a disconnect in Cuphead because the game is so hard, and I think it's hard because you start spending time, like, your eyes drift to the animations, so you forget that you're getting shot at from all fucking angles.
Yeah. You're like, oh my gosh, that boss design is so great. Oh,
ah! He burned to death!
He's dead. Shit.
Yeah. All right. We also, so...
I wonder if the show is going to be like that, if it's just going to be like, you're dead.
Oh, that would be so great. Like, every episode ends with you're dead, and then it just starts a whole new story each time. I don't want it to be geared towards kids. That's what I want. I want something like violent and crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm going to watch it either way.
Yeah.
We've got a DC Year of the Villain Joker special. It was announced to be written by John Carpenter and Anthony Birch.
Which, what?
Yeah, the John Carpenter.
Yeah. Exactly. Like every 80s movie fame ever.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And then Anthony Birch being a Borderlands 2 writer.
And he did League of Leagues or whatever.
League of Legends?
Yeah, League of Legends.
And League of Leagues.
Someone wrote that wrong. And then
that sounds like an amazing Justice League parody.
Right?
We are the League of Leagues, anyway. Copyright. Capes and Scales West.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this. I have a really soft spot in my heart for John Carpenter stuff, so.
I wasn't going to get a lot of the DC Year of the Villain tie-ins, but I guess I'll get this one.
I know. No, I was like, it was totally like, whatever. And then they're like, John Carpenter. I was like,
They're like, here's Black Mass and Batwoman.
All right, we got Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and TMNT, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover series, written by Ryan Parrott with art by Simone DeMio. Take my money. That's all I got to say.
I've never been a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan, so we'll see.
It's the artist who did the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Beyond the Grid series. So, yeah, I'm on. 100%.
Cool. Both of those are...
Fell in blood.
Both of those are pretty cold for me, so...
Whatever. You know what's not cold?
You're
rubies. Wrong. Specifically, a Ruby American comic book from DC. Written by Marguerite Bennett with part of the artist team is Mirka Andolfo, who is famous for Unnatural.
Which, once again, we're back at the freaking humanoid animal things, and I'm uncomfortable again.
Oh, man. Oh.
Man, cats done in the style of Unnatural, now I'm in.
I could probably get behind that.
Yeah, get Mirka on the
CG.
The design team. Yeah. I think.
Wow, I know you've been raving about Ruby forever. Since I've known you, Kat, but you know, you say Marguerite Bennett and Mirka Andolfo, and then
They
said Marguerite Bennett, and I was like, what?
I was literally, when you sent the information about this, my first and only reaction was, they made a comic book for Kat.
Yeah, it was like, I know, right?
They signed on creators that she likes to tell the story of the characters likes.
I'm still sad that she doesn't write Batwoman anymore. I was really curious what happened to her because
she's writing Ruby now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. She stopped writing Batwoman almost a year ago, and then I was like, what? So is she coming back to DC? Oh, we don't know. What?
Do you know when this is announced for, by any chance?
I don't. It wasn't solicited yet.
Yeah, so. I think it was just like, by the way, this is what she's been doing and why you haven't seen her. Because I thought she quit working for DC and went somewhere else.
Gotcha. Probably means October. That's kind of the thing. When it's sort of announced. Yeah. A couple bits of Batman news then. We have Batman was the first inductee into the Comic Book Character Hall of Fame at San Diego Comic Con. And the award was... apparently now it is.
Okay.
It just
became
year.
A thing, yeah.
Okay, well,
Batman was the first character
Superman
to be introduced.
Superman's not the second. I'm going to be salty, but it's fine.
Yeah, I agree. But Jim Lee accepted the award. Pretty cool ceremony.
I love Jim Lee.
go check this stuff out online. You can see some of the acceptance there. Nice. Also part of the Batman panel was the anniversary of Batman Beyond, which the announcement was made of a remastered Blu-ray edition with a super dope, shiny black Batman Beyond pop.
It's super shiny.
It's super shiny.
I'm all if you hit it with a flashlight, it'd be like, ding!
Wear sunglasses while looking at it.
Yeah. Pretty much. This is my bat. You're going to want to put these on.
Yeah. Do they come with bat sunglasses?
That would be so great. I'd be happy about it.
No, but I have mine right here.
Yeah, so that's already prepared.
Yeah, but those aren't shaped like, you know, the bat symbol. Actual bat.
No, but I have a bat symbol on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I didn't ever buy the Batman one, but I probably will buy this one.
Well, I'm getting it for sure. All right. Well, we are on to the part of the show where we get to just sort of bullshit a little bit. So Patrick pitched this idea of, well, what are we geeking out about? You know, this is our 50th episode, so what the heck is exciting? And for a moment, I paused and freaked out and was like, I don't know what I'm so excited about, actually.
basically what happened to me all week, because I've been a wee bit busy all week, and then I was like, oh yeah, we were supposed to do that. Shit. And I'm like, what am I excited about?
Yeah, I was freaking out, so I took a moment to myself and decided to watch Dragon Ball Super Broly.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. That is the understatement of the year. That movie's fucking great. So what I am actually geeking about right now is actually Dragon Ball Super. I was pausing fight scenes to analyze the line work inside of the fights in the film.
Wow.
It must own, absolutely, for anybody who's a fan of Dragon Ball in any of its incarnations. The way the storytelling worked was freaking great. Well,
Broly's always been my favorite movie, like the original Legendary Super Saiyan. That was my favorite movie. I watched it all the time, and I'm like, oh yeah, we're gonna do a Broly movie. And then I was like reading some stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, but now he's canon. I'm like, what?
Yeah. this is my favorite Dragon Ball movie.
Well, they also went into the lore and stuff, which was even better.
And my new obsession, though, for sure, is the Super Saiyan God, which I'm just gonna call Super Saiyan Zen from here on out, because it's like the anti Super Saiyan mode where it is about being calm and being deflective. And the way they portray all of the energy bolts in the movie, at least, is like warping the air into like crystalline, like circular patterns and things, as opposed to like crazy energy
blasts.
You
should see Ultra Instinct. That shit's insane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the white haired version, right? But that's just one of the things I'm excited about. Patrick, what are you excited about?
Well, there's like kind of two things that have been consuming my life recently. One, with the announcement of the new Boondocks season, I've been going back and rewatching a lot of the Boondocks.
Cool.
And that show is fucking phenomenal. Like, and I've been doing a lot of, you were saying you were pausing like the scenes to go back and look at the landmark. I've been like pausing it and going back to listen to the lines that they're saying and to like make sure that I'm like hearing it right, like just to go back and like there's like a whole episode where Martin Luther King comes back. It's like he went into a coma after he was shot and then comes back out of the coma.
Oh, what?
And it's like in 2000, and then when September 11th happens, he's just like, they're like, what do you think about the terrorist attacks? And he's just like, well, as a Christian, we're taught to turn the other cheek. And then just like the whole nation lampoons him, like Martin Luther King. And so like I had to go back and like listen, because like everyone's like, why do you hate America? Why do you hate America? And I had to go back and like listen to like what was the actual line that he said. And that's just like, it's just like so... it is way before its time, so I'm interested now that it's past its time, if it's going to have caught up, or if it will still be ahead of its time.
That's a very weird paradigm.
There's a few episodes in the first season that really just, like, are just introspective and good. There's not even, like, jokes in them or anything. They're just, like, you're watching them and, like, man, what are we as a nation? Like, they do, like, a lemonade stand episode that's, like, capitalism and our consumption of media. It's not even like a lot of it isn't even like racial stuff you would think with the Boondocks. It's just like, this is America,
just all culture.
Like, it's I don't know. I see Kat's eyes rolling backwards in her head already, so...
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but it's an amazing show, and I'm very excited to see where it's going. But the second thing is a little bit more in your vein, Kat. The South Park game, Fractured Butthole.
Oh my god, I love to play that game! It's so funny, though!
It's hilarious. It's
you play this thick as truth, and you feel like a piece of shit afterwards, and then you play it three more times.
Oh, it's great. I love, like...
Fractured Butthole.
Yeah. And it's a fun game. Like, combat is really fun.
It got
like,
way
advancing
better.
Your character, like, mm-hmm. after you get to a certain point, and you can, like, do all this stuff, like, there's... The way they do skill trees and that kind of stuff.
Well, the first one you didn't have any movement, and then this one they added the movement aspect to it, so, mm-hmm. like, you can hide behind garbage piles and stuff.
Yeah, and there's, like, specific attacks that you do that are, like, you know, straightforward mm-hmm. or radius or yep. That kind of stuff. And then just, like, the, you know, what
the classic South Park. Hilarious,
like, yeah. Because the town is being, like, gentrified, too, you know, in the background, and so it's, yeah. like... The strip club is promoting artisanal strippers, and like the gun shop is a farm to table gun.
Yeah,
and there's like one of the bars is one of the health items, you know, is food or whatever, yeah. and it was free range olives.
Well, so what was it? The first game was basically like. A shout out to the entire series of South Park, and after watching South Park, I replayed the South Park Stick of Truth, and that is like it made it 14 times more funny.
It really is. The first one is kind of a love letter to show itself, and then the second one is it's just South Park doing a superhero video game. Like it's that style. Just hilarious, great, and so much fun too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting because it's like that game is actually a decent game. It's not just like funny. It's actually a fun game. I haven't played it yet. I just remember making my character, and like when you're flipping through the skin colors, and it's like make this either easy or difficult. It has nothing to do with game difficulty.
Yeah.
And it's so Cartman talking the whole time.
And that's one of the things is like the difficulty of it is based on how dark your skin is, like. You like expert is token
yeah.
level, and like then there's one part about like when you're choosing, you have to choose your gender too at a certain point in the game, and that like gives you different skills or whatever. It's like a skill tree kind of thing, like you already choose your class, but then within it, depending on
whether
you're
like
a boy or a girl. Yeah, and it keeps doing that actually. Like every time you get like new skills, you kind of redo it. Because, he's like, you walked in on your parents having sex with each other, and that's your tragic backstory.
It's amazing.
So,
rated
anyway.
Rated M games.
Yeah.
Not for children, but that's for adults. as of me, I mean, mostly what I've been doing lately is just really honestly waiting for Borderlands 3 to come out. That's all I've been really doing, and then Gears of War 5 comes out soon, and they did a new game mode that looks super awesome, and I've been, most of my obsession has just been playing video games, honestly, right now. They did announce, like, a couple, I think it wasn't that long ago, but a few days ago, just, like, the DC announced plans to basically do, what are they're calling it, Tales from the Dark Multiverse. So basically, like, the death of Superman, he doesn't come back. The death of Batman, he doesn't come back. I think that one of the ones they're going to do twisted takes on Infinite Crisis and Blackest Night and the Judas Contract.
How do you do a darker take on Blackest Night?
Everybody keeps killing everyone is my assumption.
Instead of being the Black Lanterns, it's the White Lanterns, and it's, like, all about, like, angels coming to save all of humanity.
Say that, but either that or it's the angels, or they turn into white, they do the white, and they end up with God complexes and just start ruling the universe.
Oh, that's... I like that story.
Exactly.
I like that idea.
So, and for me, like, we've been having issues lately with DC where they're just being way too dark. I'm like, cool. They just gave them somewhere. Like, you want to be dark? Go be dark over here. Here's your one shot. Have at it. Go have fun.
Yeah.
And they're starting in October, and I'm like, this is the kind of Halloween stuff you can get me into, is stuff like this. Where
that design of, like, Azrael bats is super cool.
Mm-hmm. So I'm really, I'm happy for that, because that sounds really interesting to me. I always enjoy when they're like, yeah, this is what could have happened if it went really wrong. I'm like, how wrong could it go? You just open it up, like, how wrong could this have gone? Let me see. The cover for the first one, too, it looked like Lois, and she's got, like, a red S, and
it's
she's, like,
bleeding S.
Yeah, and she's, like, screaming, and I'm just like, I... You sold me. I'm in.
That's cool.
Yeah, I honestly think that hopefully that will maybe get them to take writers who are like, I really want to do this dark story. Okay, we're going to put you over here.
Yeah, it's like a DC's What If
line. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it is DC's What If line. Yeah.
Which I'm cool with.
Well, they're doing it because I'm curious if they're... I'm wondering if this will basically come up, because I know with the Batman, like, basically from Dark Knight Metals, all of those characters were from dying universes. So I wonder if that's what they're trying to delve into.
The Dark Multiverse gives them a lot of places to play.
Oh, yeah, no, and I'm excited for that. So go play with it, because I could have my one shot. You could do whatever you want. And also they're going to do stuff where... Also, I found a book yesterday, and it's the Hocus Pocus. It's Hocus Pocus and the all-new sequel. So I think it's from what my mom said to me. She's like, it's the original one, and then it's 25 years later.
Cool.
So I'll probably have to... I'm probably going to buy that this weekend, too.
Hocus Pocus.
I love that movie so much!
I also, like, as we're getting deeper into July and into the comic book season, the Batman 80th celebrations are getting really cool. I'm starting to get, like, really hype on Batman again. Batman Beyond being out on Blu-ray soon is pretty sweet. And then Batman Universe, which launched last week, was such a, like a BTAS, Batman the Animated Series, take on the character again, doing adventure-y stuff and detective work.
Well, it's really funny, because I like it, because it's basically, like, Tom King and Bendis, they're like, you want to trade? Yeah. We'll trade for some comics, because you've got Bendis doing Batman, and then you've got Tom King doing the Superman one. Mm-hmm. So they're like, we'll just trade, and we'll do these, and you'll do this. Okay.
Yeah. The other thing is Curse of the White Knight is about to drop, you know? Yeah. Like, so there's incoming Batman stuff that's just, like, chomping at the bit to read to see what else is coming up.
You were talking about Batman Beyond. Have we had any more talk about the Batman Beyond movie? From Sony?
No. From who?
Or not Sony.
From Warner Brothers Animation.
Warner Brothers, yeah.
You know, there's a lot saying that was actually a rumor. Like, that was not something that was actively in development. So I know. I want more stuff after Into the Spider-Verse. Like, what's going to be the next big animated thing?
Yeah, that's what I was really excited about when you were talking about
the next
about...
Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
I don't know that something is going to be the next Into the Spider-Verse, but what's going to be the next surprise, I guess?
Yeah.
Because Toy Story 4 did fine. I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either.
I've not really any desire to see Frozen 2.
Like, I have none.
Is that out?
No, it's next.
It's November.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought it was closer to the cold months.
No, like, it's... Especially, like, Coco and then Into the Spider-Verse. Like, where's the creativity in the animation side? Like, that's...
I don't want to hold everything to that standard.
Well, I don't either, but, like, the bar has been set now, you know? So.
Well, I mean... Yeah, but...
See, and I'm just standing over here, and I'm like, hey, Henry Cavill, will you come back and play Superman, please?
That's more, hey, DC executives, can you get your head out of your ass and let Henry Cavill play Superman again?
That's pretty much what it is. I just stand over here, and I feel like that little five-year-old again, please, like, tugging on their pant leg, please.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. But I still get Star Wars, too. It was, like, the other thing I had written down is... We've got The Mandalorian with the Disney Plus series coming, and then Episode 9, and they revealed the Sith Troopers last week, which are...
Red, right?
Red, they look fucking amazing.
In the back of my mind, I'm like, you can't hit anything, and now you're red. You just made yourself a literal target. I don't even know what to do with this.
I don't know, they don't even have to be anything special in the movie. Sweet name, sweet look, I need the pop figure. Like, that's what it comes down to. I need awesome pop.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm definitely, like, not a Star Wars person as much as y'all are, but, like, the Cartoon Network animated series, like, the
Clone Wars?
Original one, yeah, Clone Wars.
Yeah.
That was my jam back in the day. So, like, the fact that Netflix is picking it up, too.
No, it'll be all on Disney Plus.
Oh, it's on Disney Plus.
And
yeah,
a new
right.
season.
And what?
A new season. They're in production on season 7, I guess would be the actual number.
I have no idea.
Of Clone Wars.
Of Clone Wars?
Yeah.
What?
Filoni is working on that right now, and it's focusing on Ahsoka's journey after leaving the Jedi Order.
And there's the other one, too? The new?
Mandalorian is a live-action series.
Oh, it's the live-action series. Yeah. And so they are doing the animated Clone Wars. Okay. For some reason, I was getting those confused in my head, and I thought they were doing an animated...
No, Mandalorian is a live-action starring Pedro Pascal as the Mandalorian. He's the Red Viper from Game of Thrones.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm definitely excited about those things.
And Jon Favreau is the director and showrunner of Mandalorian.
Who is also from...
The director of Iron Man 1 and The Jungle Book and the actor who plays Happy Hogan.
Oh, yes. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I'm pretty excited. That might... I don't know. I'm going to be in on this Disney Plus, but that might...
So cheap.
That might help me get into Star Wars, too.
Yes, watch Rebels. Everyone watch Rebels. Rebels is the best Star Wars thing to be produced that isn't the films. Rebels is amazing.
Tomb Raider. That's all I got.
Rebels. I'm just thinking about cats again with Rebel Wilson.
Oh, God.
God. No, I'm back.
Like, run away. There are cats in Star Wars Rebels. Love cats. They seem to be in tune with the Force.
Oh, interesting.
I did pick up Jimmy Olsen, that comic. I after reading it and thinking about, and it looks like it's going to be more of a funny comic, and then there's a... When he ran into... Is it Drax? Is that his name? The cat? The Red Lantern cat?
Dex.
It's Dex. Dex, that's Tucker. Right. Yeah. And he just threw up in his entire room. I'm like, well, if you're with Dex, this is going to be a comedy one. All right, we'll try it.
Yeah.
Cats.
I'm uncomfortable. Does anybody else have anything they want to chat about?
I mean...
I was just on the vein of cats and a totally different thing. I don't know if either of y'all watch the... Tales from Arcadia series, Troll Hunters. I
haven't watched it.
And then they did Three Below, which is like a sci-fi sort of thing. And then at the end of that, he had a cat familiar come up and talk to one of the main characters. And they're going to do like a wizard story now. So it looks like the show is just like going to take on every like amazing genre and just like
what?
Because Trollhunters was 3 seasons, and they stopped that, and then they did Three Below, which just ended after 2 seasons. They just released the 2nd season, and then teased...
Does it have a name?
The new series? Not yet. Okay. So literally, Three Below came out like 2 weeks ago, the 2nd season, and then when I watched all of it already, because that's how it that's works. Right.
Yeah.
And then like literally the last tag scene was this cat with glasses that came up. And said one of the main characters, like, you have to come with me and save the world. And they're like, why is the cat wearing glasses? Like, why is the cat talking? He's like, we just saved the world from aliens. Come on. And other questions. And then, yeah. So they're going to do like a wizards thing now. And with cats.
That's awesome.
So that kind of was another thing I've been geeking out. But then I finished it, so done geeking out about it.
That brings the question of where the hell is Hilda season 2?
Oh my god, dude, right? Oh.
And Dragon Prince season 3. Give me all of it.
Okay, well, Dragon Prince season 2 only came out, like, 2 months ago, so... But then the first season came out only, like, 3 months before that.
Yeah, we should be due with a season 3 trailer here pretty soon.
Oh my god, Dragon Prince is totally spoiled. Netflix is really spoiling us.
Man, the short seasons, I love short seasons, and I love short turnarounds. Give me mm-hmm. 3 seasons a year that are only, like, 5 to 6 episodes each, or 9 episodes mm-hmm. for animation. Yeah, I'm good.
I feel like that's comic book fans.
Yeah, right.
Like, I want a story that will last forever, and just give me one a month.
Yeah.
Short turnarounds.
Yep.
So, man.
Anything else?
I mean, I just haven't really been watching, like, TV at all. I've been doing literally everything else but watching TV or just rewatching things I've seen 14 million times, like freaking South Park.
Still in the middle of my Evangelion rewatch, too.
I need to get back on that train, too.
Ashka had just been the angel that, like, shoots the light down at her and, like, reveals her insides.
And she, like...
has a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. So I'm like, I have to sit down and pay attention now. Like, I can't just passively watch again.
Yeah, and I want to watch it too because you were saying about the like the subtitle.
Oh, the, yeah, the new sub and dub.
The subs being different, so. Yeah. Or the, like.
Both subtitle and dub.
Slightly different, yeah. So. Yeah, I'll definitely be interested to see that.
Cool.
If it makes any difference in my watching there.
Yeah.
Or not. I don't know if it has it made any difference in yours. Or
no, it was evident to me initially, and then after that, I've just sort of fallen into the story. So.
All right. Fair enough. I don't know if you were like, oh my god, that would make so much more sense if it's subtly like this.
I mean,
this
I didn't
like
that. The fact that Shinji did not say another unfamiliar ceiling.
Like, oh, actually, he doesn't?
Didn't, yeah, and it's the name of the episode, so that was weird to me.
Oh my gosh, and that's such a good fucking, that's such a good scene, too.
The sentiment's there, but that specific line is not.
So. Another unfamiliar ceiling.
Yeah. All right, I think we should call it.
Yeah, cool. Well, thanks for tuning in to our 50th episode.
Woo! Bye.
All right, bye.